after these things, that is, those things that had gone before in the previous chapter, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and had come unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, or labored, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed him themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on I go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Titus Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made an attack with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, Were a matter of wrong or wicked crime, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names, and of your law, look ye to it. For I will be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Now, there's a few things I'd like to read that I've had noted for some time as to Claudius. He's the fourth Roman emperor, AD 41 to 54. His full name was Tiberius Claudius Drusus Nero Germanicus. And then we think of Herod. Herod the First used his influence and flavor in favor of Claudius, being chosen as emperor, and in return for these efforts, the emperor added to Agrippa's territories Judea, Samaria, and some parts of Lebanon. It was Claudius who, on the account of a tumult of the Jews, banished all Jews from Rome. He was poisoned by his fourth wife, Agrippina, the mother of Nero. I'd like to look at Acts 9 and 28 for that. Acts 9, the 28th verse. And he was with them, coming and going. Well, let's go back a verse. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. One of the things I believe will be coming to in here is the fact that we're watchmen. We think of the watchmen strictly as the Old Testament, but that's not the case. We're watchmen today as well. And what does the watchman do? He gives warning. He warns what's ahead. He warns us to the enemies.
And what they, of course, are trying to do with you and me, they're trying to pull us away from the Lord. They're trying to discredit us. And then in the second verse of chapter 18, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, who's because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. If I'm not mistaken, Nero murdered his mother as well. And there might have been another wife or two that he got rid of. And then some think that he was the one that was behind the burning of Rome, but I don't think there's any real proof on that. In verse 3, well, I'd like to look at some other things here as we go. I can't read this little writing anymore. The book of Romans was written while Paul was in Corinth. Let us turn to Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1 and verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not seemly, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, and lasciviousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, isn't that a picture of the world today? And this is where he was in Corinth. Corinth was noted for that. Corinth was an exceptionally wicked place in that day and time. And then in verse 3, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and worked. For their occupation, they were tent makers. In other words, I think it was our brother made mention this morning at one of their meetings he was at, they had four collections. Well, I've been at places where there's been two and some possibly three. But how many collections do you see here? The only collections we have is that from the Lord's people. And we, the Lord willing, we will come to a verse along that line, taking nothing from the Gentiles. The Christians take nothing from the ungodly to further God's work. When you're passing the hat and receiving from the general public, many unsaved people are putting their little bit of money in there and thinking they've accomplished something. So years ago, we used to see the Salvation Army girls outside of the ABC stores. The men would go in there and get their bottles come out and put their quarter or whatever in the tin plate or whatever, and think they had accomplished something. They'd done something to please God. They were taking from the Gentiles. And I dare say if General Booth were alive, he would be disgusted with some of the things he sees them doing today. They do a good work. If I were to give my monies to anybody helping the military and all the various things, I would give it to the Salvation Army before I'd give it to any of the rest. But even there, there was a day their primary purpose is what we should be doing, witnessing for Christ. I dare say Richard can remember. Carolyn, I don't know if she came to town that much. But the Salvation Army, especially around Christmas time, would be on the street corners, playing hymns, singing, and some witnessing. And the idea was to get the people to come to the meeting. And they preached the gospel. You don't hear much of that anymore, if any. Maybe we need to go back to something like that. The difference in this country, you have to have a permit to do anything. Even Great Britain, with all of its problems, you can, as long as you don't incite the overthrow of the government, you can preach anything, anywhere, without a permit. I'd like to look at a few more verses along that, no charge for the gospel. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. First Corinthians 9 and verse 18 and then on. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. Know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. They just got a, if I'm not mistaken, it was an olive wreath. In a matter of days, it would be wilted, it would be nothing. And then 2 Corinthians 11. Seventh verse. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and lacked, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. Now he's mentioned there robbed other churches. He didn't actually rob, but these other churches had sent monies to him to help him along the road. And then 3 John. Seventh verse. Because for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, taking nothing of the lost. That's one of the first things people, many people that come into the assemblies, their first time are sort of shaken. They're waiting for them to pass the hat. We don't pass the hat. Matthew 10. The 8th verse. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. We received the greatest gift of all, and it didn't cost us a thing. It cost God everything. So we should be only too glad to try to have others to receive or partake of that same gift. Second Corinthians, 12th chapter, I should say. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And all of us, I think, have heard some of these speakers on the radio, and it's almost as though they were from heaven. So you start listening to what they're saying. And if there's anything there, it's very shallow. It's very superficial. They've got some awful answering to do to the Lord God. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 and 9. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail a night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power or the right to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now there are those that are very capable of working, and they're not. Now, if somebody needs the help, I'm only too glad to help them. But we've got many, many leeches out there today, and our whole system encourages it. 1 Thessalonians 2. Ninth verse. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God, all free. If freely we were freely received, certainly we should freely give. And then again, along with verse 2, his new associates, Aquila and Priscilla, they were fellow workers. We find that in 18:2, as we read here. Associate ministers, 18 and the 18th verse. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed from there into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, Paul having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. And then they were godly and wise teachers. They kept to their own sphere. The 26th verse of chapter 18. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. This is Apollos. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They weren't necessarily getting up in a public place and doing it. They took him to the side, and they took the scriptures, and they showed him the truth more perfectly. They were bold helpers. Romans 16. Romans 16, the third and fourth verses. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have by my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Would you and I be willing to lay our lives on the line for another brother or sister? We should be willing to. And you know, if we think that maybe giving our life is terrible, we give our life and what happens? We're with the Lord. The Lord didn't just merely give his life. He did far worse. As far as his own suffering, he became sin. God is that holy, he cannot so much as look upon iniquity. Yet he deigned to come down here, take on a human body, a perfect body, without sin, and dwelt among us. He dwelt among sinners. And he knew the day was coming, he was having that sin placed upon his own shoulder. He would be made sin, that you and I might have life. And then the fellowship with the Father had never been broken. We see it in Abraham and Isaac, and they too went together twice over, it said. That tells you something very important. The picture of God the Father and God the Son wending their way down through a past eternity to Mount Moriah, to Calvary. And knowing all the time the Father was going to have to turn his back on the Son. And of course, the Holy Spirit knew it. And when it took place, all of the angels of heaven knew it as well. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. No one helped him. And then there were hospitable brethren. 1 Corinthians 16. And the 19th verse. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you. Much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And we know there's quite a few places where that's the case today. The churches are house churches. And verses 3 through 6. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Remember, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But he was a Jew. And his heart still went out to his people. Remember, there was one of the places that said he was willing, if it were, for him to be cast into hell if his people could be saved. But you know, it was impossible. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed or set themselves in array themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Well, we know that he still loved his people, and he was still very concerned as to their needs. Its result in verse 6, we find the blasphemy. We find that Paul had done his duty. I'd like to look at Ezekiel 33. One through five. Remember, most of the cities back then were protected by walls. They were the unwalled cities. The major cities had walls. And they had what we would call a lookout tower, so that this person was up high, he could see great distances. Again, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their borders and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, the sword come, and he take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He that heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall be delivered, shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. O God has set us a watchman, or watchmen and women, if you will, for all of the church of God, and for the lost that we come in contact with. The day's coming that there won't be any more chances. They'll be over. And they may be a lot closer than we think. We look round about us, and we can see it all closing in. 1 Corinthians 9:16, we have read that. Acts 20. Verse 26. Wherefore I sanctify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that purchase is not a commercial transaction. He was required and made his own. I and my Father are one. The Greek is to make around oneself, or to bring one around oneself. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Not so much as what was said, but the word itself, that it might touch our hearts. This is the Lord God himself speaking to each one of us. We're all in separate and different places, different situations. And yet, even when we come to speak with different people, in most cases, if we're alert, we find openings to bring in the gospel, finding out whether these ones know Christ as Savior. The majority of the times, that's not the case. They may have all kinds of answers. They're still lost. And it's our place to witness to them, that they might be redeemed such as we are, might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. And Father, we think of those amongst us that are laid aside with illness. We ask of thy mind and will that they might soon be raised up. We ask too that thou wouldst guide and direct the medical people that are involved in many of the cases. And then there are others that are just fighting off the flu. And we know that the flu can make one very sick. And in some cases can be very dangerous. I pray that thou would guide and direct in the case of each of the Lord's dear people. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.